The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
It's Wolfman Jack in his own film version of a classic children's story, Wolfie Wolfie Bang Bang.
What a great car, Wolfman!
Does it fly like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
I'm afraid not, kids. It just get in the back there and help me push it, will you?
It's fun for the whole family with Wolfman Jack and his enchanted car.
You know,
I bang, you bang, we bang, they bang, whoopie whoopie bang bang, we love you. I bang, you bang, they bang, they bang, whoopie whoopie bang bang, we love you.
Wolfman Jack in the fantasy fun film of the year, Wolfie Wolfie Bang Bang, coming soon.
It's time once again to be flabbergasted by the rolling tongue, the juggling of words, thoughts, and phrases, like a Spaniard on a tightrope. Here is the one, the only, the man of 2 hours, Frank Cotolo.
Mr. President, the late Marilyn Monroe.
That night, one of her most memorable live performances was caught on camera.
You can see me, huh?
Yeah.
It's monumental. Hang in there. Oh, yeah. Okay. Neo-postmodernists, you sunburnt sickleman, time to make holiday. Put on your rye straw hats and your high-heeled sneakers. Here we go again. Wake up, it's night! And melding media and the metaphysical and the mundane and the whole bunch of junk that goes on here. November 21st, Y2K, plus 13. We got a Savino Cotolo Chronicles, and you are going to hear about it, all about it, neo-postmodernists. Check in. Here we go. We're going. We're going. Everybody, clear your throats. We've got
Bing Kao to Bing Kao, Xiu Chun to Dai Xi, Ham Sub Nok Jai to Ham Sub Jung Sum. Hi, Cotolo Chronicles.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Boy, that was a rocky. That was a rocky beginning. But that's only because Tom Savino's with me again tonight, our monthly meeting. And this is one of the rare times that I'm actually. You're one of the rare people who comes like exactly at 9 o'clock. So when the other show is ending, it pops in. And then our co-host, showed up really late. So he's flashing. We're really flashing. I'm putting a flashlight through the back light of this. What?
The show's only been on for 5 minutes, and I got here by 3 minutes.
Well, it ain't getting any longer, let me tell you. Tom Savino, of course, is with us. And tonight is, although you people have nothing to do with what I'm going to say here, we got an extra media attraction here for us. But I have installed one of the cheapest, oldest webcams ever on the face of the earth, so you can actually see me, co-host, and an audience behind me. And Tom can see me, and I can see him, but no one else can. You notice how it's moving?
Yeah,
delay?
It's lagging.
That funny digital staccato or something.
Well, we won't make much mention to that because, of course,
nobody can see it except us.
So it's up to us.
That's enough.
And that's enough. Yes, it's enough for us. But anyway, people have said to me, Tom, there's this place on the internet, like there's places all over the internet, where people who tune in to listening can also see the person doing the show, because there's the cam is part of it.
Yeah.
And I've always stayed away from that, because this is a radio show, and I think that a talking head doesn't do a radio, it doesn't belong in a radio show, then it's television.
I agree with that, yeah.
And who wants to do television with a face like this behind me?
Right. I mean, it's bad enough. Bad enough I have to hear Rush Limbaugh. I have to see him, too.
I don't care. So anyway, we don't do that, but we'll do that for one another.
Yeah, that would be great.
And we'll also – what's that? What would be great?
If you had to see Rush Limbaugh, if it was like some kind of interactive experience where you could punch him in the face through the screen.
They probably have an internet site like that, too. Somewhere.
Well, I might subscribe to that.
So. You know, speaking of that, let me just do this here now. Let me do these coming attractions, then we'll get into our our subject, which is on everybody's mind, I'm sure. Not everybody. I wonder if they don't really care do they care? Like in Germany, are they talking about this in Germany? Are they talking about it in Japan? Are they talking? They're not talking about it in Saudi Arabia, right? It's not a big deal, is it?
Probably not.
Okay.
No.
But speaking of the internet and all these great places there are to go on the internet, I've decided that next week's Thanksgiving in America show, because I'm always on Thanksgiving evening because it's Thursday, and I don't take off. I come here and you digest your meal with me. But I thought it would be a great time to give thanks for the internet, and I'll tell you what while we do this, because for the longest time. And in fact, since this whole thing began, and there was broadband and fast things, and there were websites that popping up everywhere, and before the Main Street media came in, Main Street? It's not the Main Street media.
Main Street media.
Yeah, whatever. Before those commercial guys came in, we were here pumping our pumps. It's a pump, pump. It's a pump. And so we're going to give thanks to all the great things on the internet, so I'll be doing that. Right here while you digest your food, and hopefully I will help you digest more quickly and not add to any indigestion you have. On December 5th, the following week, Dr. Woldar and Sky Hall will be here, and we have the topic now. We're talking about men from Mars. Men from Mars. Dr. Woldar and Sky Hall, arguably two of the smartest people on the face of God's green earth, and I swear to you, it is green. The week after that is the 12th. Steve Olscher will be here. Steve Olscher has a website. I guess look him up. He's been here once before. I never thought he'd come back again because he's kind of a self-help guy. Not kind of. He is. He's one of these guys like, what's that guy's name? Tony Richards, Tony Anthony Durbin. What's that guy's name? The very famous guy. Anthony.
It's apparently not that famous. Because,
what is he doing?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Anthony Riggins.
The famous
Anthony.
Self-help guy.
Yeah,
say self-help 90 times.
Anthony.
Fast,
oh, you still have a little bit of that that laryngitis, don't you?
I do, yeah. I still have the Brenda Vaccaro.
Wait, where's the saxophone?
The saxophone's gone. It's not on the wall before.
It's just I had to move it because the cats were in here earlier and...
And you know what cats do when there's a saxophone, baby?
Yes.
They dig on it. They're
cool cats.
You don't want those cool cats in there. Well, Tom, don't worry about Tom. He knows how to work a mic. He puts it on loud and talks, speaks softly, and carries a big – December – after the 12th, I don't know what we're doing. And then, of course, December 28th, the Artist D will be here with me for our infamous – or not famous. It's not infamous. Our famous yearly – roll call from the Bone Garden when we get together and talk about all the people, celebrated people who have passed in this the year that just went by, not just celebrated people in music and arts and entertainment, but in mm-hmm. science, in painting, in dance, and all in medicine, and all those things. Because a lot of people have, unfortunately, although it's unfortunate, but it's common, many people have died this year. So we give the roll call from the Bone Garden because they're all gone. And
is that January 1st?
Good thing you asked me that. December 28th, mm-hmm. Thursday night. So there's still time. Mm-mm. There's still time to die after that.
That's right.
Get on the list. So if you want to get on the list, anybody listening out there and you're in the terminal ward, get going. Let's get this, get cracking. Hey, speaking of death,
smoke some cigarettes.
Speaking of death, we're here with Tom Savino, and the funny thing, I was thinking, Tom, a couple of things. Here's the first thing. Well, here's what I wanted to say to open this up.
All right.
The Kennedy 50th anniversary of John F. Kennedy's assassination, and boy, the last 2 weeks on television have just been like, they've been lousy with the documentaries or what have you. But it dawned on me that something dawned on me that happened like maybe 2-3 years ago. I want to open up with that because you and I, Tom, were alive when this happened.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
We felt whatever we felt are the repercussions of that. We could talk about that later too. But I know mm-hmm. there's so many people out there who just – it's just – well, it's like Lincoln is to us. Right? We didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we know he was ugly, but we don't know anything. But this is really something because my son, one of my sons, Jack, is 20 now. So he's really distanced from this. And a couple of years ago, we're in the car and he says to me, "Hey, Dad," he said, "what did JFK say when he got off the plane in Dallas on November 22nd. It was my son. And at the time he was, you know, I don't know, maybe he was 14 or 15.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I don't know what. He said, well, the people told him to get in the car because he was going to be in a motorcade. And JFK said, a motorcade? I need that like a hole in my head. Now, I know, but listen to this. The story itself. Okay, here's the kid telling a joke. Right? So then I said, "Jack, that's like really gross." And he went, "What? Too soon?"
He said
yeah,
too soon.
Yeah, he went, "What? Too soon?" And
and Jack.
I know it's great. And it was, I just stayed with me, and then and I couldn't help but think when all the stuff about the. About, you know, the anniversary came up, I'm thinking to myself, wow, so many people are so distanced from this. And what did you do, Tom? Did you see?
I was 13. I guess you were 13. Yeah, we're about the same age, I guess, right? You mm-hmm. were 13 as well, I guess.
Right.
And I was in Catholic school, and it was 2:30, and we get out at 3 o'clock, and the principal came on the loudspeaker and then
no, I'm sorry, we don't laugh.
The principal spoke on the
private
loudspeaker.
Private jokes, Scully Audio. Go ahead. The teacher came on the loudspeaker.
And also played the live news reports that were coming out of Dallas about the shooting. And then of course we got out at 3 o'clock, and by the time I got home, it was announced that he had been killed. And it was a very sad experience. I remember my sister, who was 18, and of course John Kennedy was very popular with women. She was just devastated and in tears the whole night about that. I do remember that. It was traumatic, especially, you know, I was a Catholic school, and he was obviously the one and only Catholic president, and it was a big thing just in my school there, too.
You know, he then said he was the oldest president, the youngest president ever elected. Is that correct?
Yes, yes, he was. Yeah.
Okay, but I learned the other night while I was reading parts of Doris Baggin Garanmo's, what's her name? Doris Kearns Goodwin, Doris Goodwin Kearns, is that her name? Doris Goodwin Kearns has written a book.
Uh-huh.
Well, she's written a lot of books, but she wrote a book called The Bully Pulpit, which is out now. And I was reading about it in New Yorker magazine, and she said in there that Theodore Roosevelt, who became president when McKinley was shot, isn't that odd? This is the only other. Yeah. Later on, we're going to have a quiz. How many? You know, we're going to have assassinated yeah. president quiz.
Yeah.
Well, when McKinley was shot, Roosevelt was the vice president. See, they made him vice president because they wanted to get him out of the way. See, and then he became president, and he was only 41.
Really?
Yeah. But he wasn't elected 41. Oh. So I guess that's where that little asterisk.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't realize that. So I guess yeah. So John Kennedy would be the youngest elected president.
Yeah, he was 45. Is that well? I'm moving over here. I was trying to get adjusted to this with this camera thing. Hey, Tom could see this, and no one else could see. I'm now going to drink my coffee,
all right.
Tom Savino style. Here goes.
Did
you see that? Wait, here it is. I've taught all my friends to
I
do
got
this.
Mine here.
Yeah, but this is Tom Savino style. Can you see me now, Tom?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Everybody, lift your. Yeah.
I just want.
Everybody's people, drinking Tom Savino style.
I just don't want people to get too close to me when I'm drinking my coffee, so I'll elbow them out of the way.
Yeah, well, we can't do too many visual jokes here because it's like
right.
we're not doing the show for ourselves. We're doing it for other people.
You're not even in the cam anymore.
I'm not even in the cam anymore. I've moved over here.
Yeah.
You know what I like to do? Here's what I like to do. I get on the cam. Watch this. Watch it. Yeah, see, now I'm going to do it. I said, don't do this, and now I'm going to do it. Watch this. Just watch this. I go. Okay, it's just a fun little thing. Okay, back to the show now for you,
yes.
people not listening, not watching on the cam.
Frank, I would like to
go ahead. Do what you like.
This it would have to come up in this discussion, so I thought we'd get it over with.
Sure.
Fast, and that is the coincidences that with Lincoln and Kennedy coincidences.
Oh, yes. I knew that would come up. Yeah. Let's just tell everybody, and let's remember, Tom, let's be sensitive to those people out there who don't know all the junk we've heard over the years and may not have seen all these things, okay?
Yes,
about the Kennedy assassination. Maybe a lot of you people don't know.
Yeah.
The question of who killed Kennedy from the moment it happened, even when they caught the guy and put him away, remains. If you saw the blog, did you take a look at the blog, Tom?
Yes, I did. That was
wonderful.
That was a great news headline
of the Onion. You know, says FBI, CIA killed everybody. You know, all these got people. The Freemasons killed Kennedy. President shot 129 times in 43 different places. And of course, there's been, they talk about the magic bullet because there were only one bullet that went through everybody.
Yeah.
And still
traveling now, that bullet, too.
And the movie, of course, JFK, Oliver Stone, who indeed was stoned when he did it. also brought it to everybody's attention because of not Mark Trail. Mark Trail was the guy who used to write about the conspiracies. He was a columnist named Mark. That was his name, Mark Trail. But the lawyer, I forgot the lawyer's name, in who's the character, JFK?
Yeah, he was the district attorney of
Louisiana?
I think New Orleans, wasn't he? New Orleans district attorney. I don't remember his name, but the movie JFK, he's the main character. It's all about his investigation of the conspiracy, yeah.
So there actually were court cases and all sorts of things that went on to see if there was something else. If you look on in the internet or if you've seen any of these shows that are playing now, you will hear just about everything, because just about everybody has been blamed. Mm-hmm. A little later on, I'm going to – and there are – you know, there are like 4,600 – I don't know, 4,600 books or something since then. I mean, I'm going to read – we're actually going to read a couple of – oh, where are they? Oh, yes. I'll read a couple of new ones. We'll be reading a couple of new books to tell you about the – that
– Oh, really?
Yeah, coming out just in the nick of time. we'll be talking about some of the books out there, but all based on conspiracies. What were you going to say?
Before we go over the coincidences, you just reminded me, because obviously when this happened, I was upset and interested, like the rest of America, I guess, or most of the rest of America.
Upset and interested. You had a you and I experience there.
Had a what? I'm sorry.
A you and I experience. Upset and interested.
Hopefully not a DUI.
Upset. No, I was too young for a DUI experience.
Upset and interested. A you and I experience.
Oh, okay. Okay, very good. Okay, very good. this is my Brenda Vaccaro.
Pass it on to your children. Nobody knows Brenda. You know, it's funny. You told me Brenda Vaccaro. Brenda Vaccaro. Fact, nobody knows.
If people don't know about the assassination, fewer people know about the Brenda Vaccaro.
You might as well say Susan Warren.
Yeah.
No one knows anything.
And it's funny. I just, an hour ago, I was just saying Susan Warren.
Were you?
And nobody answered, or did, people just ignored me entirely.
Every time the French Connection is on, and I'm with anybody, and it's like right, it's at that part where the car chase goes. Watch. I know this girl. The girl who's carting the baby carriage across the street at 86th Street in Brooklyn. And Susan Warren. I know the actress, but you could win so much money in a bar.
That's great. I have to remember that.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. We've once again jumped.
We digress. But that digressing is a big part of the Cthulhu Chronicles,
absolutely.
I think.
We chronicle and we digress.
And often a fun part of it, too, I think.
That's the point of the show.
That's the point. The point
it's
is
actually
to digress.
The point. The point
Never,
is digression.
Oh, the point is digression. Write that one down. We got another full ad thing there. The point is digression. Now go on, Tom. What was your you and I experience?
I started doing research again about this because just have something to say on the show that, you know, and it brought back all these memories of the whole conspiracy thing. But here's something I didn't know until my recent research was that in 1976, that was during the Carter administration, Congress had another hearing about the assassination, about the Kennedy assassination, and officially came out. This is Congress, officially came out and said, we can say with 99% certainty that the Kennedy assassination was a conspiracy.
Who
Did
said
you know that?
Who said that? Who said that?
Congressional Committee on the Assassination of John Kennedy in 1976.
Oh, okay. 76. That's a spirit.
Yeah. How old were you?
In 76, I was 26. Was I?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't remember that. So what did that mean? How could they say it is a conspiracy if they don't have the details of the conspiracy?
Well, they reopened the investigation and went over all the details. And again, it's not conclusive. It's not 100%, you know, with people to arrest and so on and so forth. But they said with 99% certainty, I think maybe it was an Ivory soap commercial or something, but it was 99.94% certainty. 9/4 is an interesting fraction.
I think it's a – wait a second. Isn't that a compound? It's really improper. One. It's an improper – that's what it's called, improper fraction. Yes, that's an improper fraction.
Yeah, so it's like –
This,
you know,
this show
all
is
this
nine
time,
fourths.
The official government stance has been it was Lee Harvey Oswald. It was two bullets that hit him and one that missed everything, and just this one guy, and that's it, you know. But here is this congressional committee in 76. This is a fairly official government entity saying, you know, well, we're 99% sure this was a conspiracy of sorts.
The other night I saw the doctor one of the doctors, there were a million doctors in that room when they brought the body into the hospital.
Yeah.
This guy said, and it's amazing that it's 50 years and we never heard any of this. I mean, that's the most amazing thing to me. Not that it's a conspiracy, but that just now we're hearing facts, facts. This is nothing else, facts like I'm going to tell you right now. The doctor who was in the room said that Kennedy was wearing this like corset because, you know, he had a horrible back. He was on all sorts of painkillers and everything. Okay.
Yeah.
Now this, this corset, this thing that pushed in his body and kept his back erect. Uh-huh. Think about what I'm saying now. Yeah. And here's what the doctor. Yeah, well, this is not a joke. No. He's smiling. These kids who were never around, you see, they're smiling. They go, here comes another Kennedy joke.
Okay. I'm listening. And you're okay. Like, listen.
Listen to this. Listen, I'm telling you, this is amazing. If you see the bullet, the first bullet, which is the now known as the magic bullet, which also hit Governor Connally, was on the front seat, okay?
Right.
What happened to Connally? When he was shot.
Yes. Okay.
What happened to him was this. He
I thought it was a question. Sorry.
A, he did the cha-cha. What happened to him was that the bullet hit and he immediately went forward. His body went down. Okay? His head went down. You understand?
Yes.
So he was shot and his head went down. So what is that called when you... You just, you know, you're sitting,
drop
but you're
dead.
No, it's not. He didn't drop dead. Now listen, that the first bullet that also hit Kennedy, because it had to hit Kennedy and go through Kennedy. Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. It went, but he was wearing this corset because he had it in the hospital. Okay. They see him. They took his clothes off.
Right.
Regardless of what everybody was saying, no, you can't take the president's clothes off. You know, but they did. Okay. Yeah. This doctor said, had he not been wearing that, he too would have fell forward. You know what that means? That means the second bullet would have never hit him. He would not have been hit in the head. He would be alive today.
Wow.
Because he wore that thing to save his back. And look what it did. Where'd that get you, Johnny?
Wow.
See, isn't that amazing?
Every little thing. What about, you know, I mean, it had been raining the night and that morning. And had it continued to rain... He would have been in the covered motorcade limousine.
Well, that's another thing I heard. I heard one of the guys, the guy who was in charge of the car, was actually the guy who said, let's leave it open. And, I mean, he didn't disagree. The president didn't disagree, and Connally didn't disagree, and Jackie didn't disagree. And the driver had nothing to say about it anyway. But it was one guy who said, let's leave it open. They could have closed it. They could have shut it, in which case, nobody's that good a shot, right?
Yeah. Right. But, you know, the whole reason for his being in Dallas was to change the people's view of him.
Dive!
The people Dive! Of Texas.
Dive! What was that? Was that your?
What, that sound?
That's
your teapot? My phone.
Your phone.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that sound right there.
So he really wanted to pick up votes in Texas, so he wanted to be as, ironically, as open as possible to the people. And
but the days before that, he gave speeches and he was driving around, he was open. In fact, I was shocked also to know that Lyndon Johnson and his wife were with them all along. I didn't know the president was allowed to be with the vice president that close at the same time. You know what I mean? They were in public at the same time.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And I heard a Secret Service guy on the radio recently saying that the Kennedy assassination changed much of their procedures, many of their procedures, including what you're talking about now. It's like don't have the president and vice president in the same proximity. Because of something like this, because you could knock out the number one and number two people in the country.
That wasn't the first rule to change, though. The first rule to change was no shooting.
Yeah, no shooting was first, and no corsets.
Why do you think it is? There's no particular time, frame for being able to make humor. In fact, there's a great story that was told. Remember, I think it was Daniel Patrick Moynihan, the senator from New York. Remember
yes,
him?
I remember him, yeah.
Someone, I forgot who this person was standing next to him, said that day they were in Congress or wherever they were hanging around, maybe it was a reporter, what have you, and said to Moynihan, said, well, she said, we'll never laugh again. She was so moved, so upset. She said, well, we'll never laugh again. And Moynihan said something,
who?
Which this lady said to
no,
Daniel
like,
Patrick
who will
Moynihan.
Never laugh? Everybody?
Yeah, no she said, we'll never laugh. She said, it was so devastating to people. You have no idea, I mean, how people were walking around. You would go to, like, the supermarket, and people were just crying. And they couldn't even buy their white food, the milk, the bread, nothing. They were crying.
Yeah.
Everywhere people were crying. People of all denominations were crying. Name a denomination. Go ahead. Name a denomination.
Nine-fourths.
What's that? Hindu?
Hindu.
And what?
Nine-fourths.
Nine-fourths is a denomination. They were crying.
Denominator.
But the point is, okay, so he said, oh, we'll laugh again, he said, but we'll never be young again. There was something about the Kennedy administration that that really opened up an entire cultural society thing. It just took the old white man out of the off, you know, out of the presidency, and suddenly everybody, he didn't even have to do anything. Once he was elected, and still elected by a narrow margin, everyone loved them. It was just amazing what went
it
on
was.
With those two.
Yeah, well, and looking at the films again of his being in Fort Worth and other parts of Texas, and they were just an incredible the both of them, Kennedy and Jackie, especially element of this country that just we have never seen it before, and I don't know if we'll ever see it again, but we haven't so far.
That's why they called it Camelot. It was almost royalty in America, these two and the little kids running around, regardless of how ugly Caroline is today, she was a cute little kid. And, you know, we forget that John Jr., nobody talks about John Jr. anymore. I'm amazed at that, you know, he died in his, very much like John Denver died, in his own plane. Oh, I don't think he made it, but he didn't make his plane. Maybe John Denver made his plane. I don't know. I'm sorry. You know what I mean. I don't know. I'm just saying that here we are now, and we're able to make light of this. You know why? I think, here's my theory. You like to hear my theory, everyone? Yeah,
that's true.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that things that are extremely painful can just not remain that way, that you've got to vent no matter how long it might be. That you vent it by making light of it and by laughing about it, it kind of makes it more, not real. Well, it makes it real, but I mean, it just makes it more bearable, because I think that, that's one of the great medicinal properties of humor, to be able to make. Do you remember Gilbert Gottfried, the first person to make a joke after 9/11? Do you remember the joke?
Yeah.
You do? Go ahead. You remember?
Oh, wow.
No? I think, right? No?
Who made the joke?
Gilbert Gottfried made the first public joke.
Everybody in the audience, I do remember that, everybody in the audience was like, ooh.
Yeah, nobody
laughed. And then he saved it.
They were afraid.
With an Aristocrats joke.
Oh, did he?
That's
okay.
How he saved the 9/11.
It is amazing. Yeah, he said, so Gilbert Gottfried had the Chiolis to get up. And live.
What's going on?
And then nobody knew what to think. And you know, people were afraid to laugh, because even though he said, after the show, I can't do him.
After the show!
Yeah, after the show. He said, I'm taking a plane to Chicago.
Yeah.
Says, but there's a stop in between, the Empire State Building.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
It was like weeks after.
Yes.
Not even that long.
I don't even think people wanted to hire him. I mean, he went to his next gig and.
But that was, you see, at now the that's roast. You know what your son saying, what, too soon?
Yeah.
That was definitely an example of too soon.
It's also an example of, you know, courageous. I mean, that's what comedians are supposed to do. He wanted to go over the line because it was time to go over. Someone had to do it.
Yeah.
And he did it. And that was, it was horrible. But, you know, some later on, there bad. Are, yeah. Yeah. And there's, so I think that, you know, as time goes on, we, I think we have, that's my theory. I don't, I have no.
All right.
That was the roast of, Donald Trump, wasn't it? He was at a roast.
Oh, was he? Was he at a roast? I thought it was in public, though. Yeah, because it got around real quick, yeah. Was it?
Well, yeah, they sent that around.
Yeah.
Oh, it became like a web.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But anyway, because they didn't have smartphones. Did they have any smartphones then, did they? No, they didn't.
In 9/11, 2000.
I was going to say, what
year was
what
that?
9/11?
9/11, 2001, right?
Yes, because 9/11, yes, 9/11 2001. We're here at Cotolo Chronicles. The point is digression. We have a new slogan. The point is
digression.
It's 9/4 digression, 10/4, 10/5 to the half. We're 10/5 to the half. We're here. We're Tom Savino with the Savino Cotolo Chronicles here. We're talking about this is actually the Kennedy Chronicles tonight, Y2K plus 13 here. Jeremy Long is on his smartphone doing – what are you doing, research? You doing research for
us? Actually, I'm discussing the show.
By the way, I want to mention this, Jeremy. 5 minutes after 9 is late. The show starts at 9.
I never said that I wasn't late.
You said no,
I said not that late.
Oh, yeah. Not that late.
Because 5 minutes.
Right, right. So I'll just say, hold on, everyone. I have to now leave the microphone live.
You were doing the automatic
stuff. Okay, I'm joking.
Listen.
I didn't know you were going to be here tonight because you didn't warn me.
I said on Facebook.
I was not on Facebook in hours upon hours upon hours. I was not on Facebook.
I said.
Unlike you youngins, I'm not constantly on Facebook
and
commenting, poking, and doing whatever.
You don't check your phone.
My phone?
Yeah, I sent you a text.
Oh. I did. I didn't get one.
Oh.
All right, Frank, this is it.
Tom is now taking over.
Tom's
go ahead,
like,
Tom.
Shut up.
Take the show. Right?
Here are the coincidences.
Here we go. Right? Lincoln and Kennedy both were assassinated, and there are remarkable coincidences involved in the people and in the characters and the circumstances. Here's Tom to tell you about it.
That's right. Both presidents were elected to the House of Representatives in the year 46, 1846 and 1946. Both presidents were elected to the presidency in the year 60. Lincoln defeated an incumbent vice president, and so did Kennedy. He defeated an incumbent vice president, Richard Nixon. Both their predecessors left office in their 70s, and both retired to Pennsylvania. James Buchanan, who retired in Lancaster Township, and Dwight D. Eisenhower, who ironically, retired in Gettysburg.
In California, there's a place called Lancaster. So if you're in California and you see that word, you go Lancaster, and then you pronounce it the same way. You say, oh, Lancaster, Pennsylvania? No, it's Lancaster. And, you know,
Lancaster.
Yeah, they say Lancaster. Lancaster. It's like going to California and going, hey, there's Sepulveda Boulevard, you know.
Sepulveda, yeah, which I did when I first moved here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sepulveda. Both their vice presidents, both Lincoln and Kennedy, both their vice presidents and successors were Southern Democrats named Johnson, Andrew Johnson, and Lyndon Johnson. And they both were born in the year 08, 1808 and 2008. Both presidents were concerned with the, not 2008, did they say 2008? 1808 and 1908.
It's okay, we're
both
not listening.
Were,
no, go.
I was listening.
Well, you was listening. He needs, the kids need to know this. Go back one fact and go ahead. Go back one fact. The one you screwed up upon, go back.
The date,
one.
The one about the date?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Both the vice presidents were Southern Democrats, and they both were named Johnson, Andrew Johnson for Lincoln and Lyndon Johnson for Kennedy, and both were born in the year 1808 and 1908. That would have been something if it was 2008. It would have been,
We have a 5-year-old.
Yeah. Both presidents were concerned with the problems of black Americans. Well, let's skip that one for a minute. Both presidents were shot in the head. Both presidents were shot on a Friday in the presence of their respective wives. Both presidents were accompanied by another couple. the male companion of the other couple was wounded by the assassin in both cases. Both presidents had a son die during their presidency.
Oh, you're Lincoln, gonna, oh, you count, you're counting her miscarriage? Obviously.
Yes.
You know, even without, yeah, that's questionable. But even without that, I think you got a bunch of stuff. They're really pushing it now with that, aren't they? Are they going to get?
There's more.
Shoes, the ties, what they were wearing. Go ahead.
Lincoln was shot by John Wilkes Booth at Ford Theater. Kennedy was shot by Lee Harvey Oswald and maybe others in a Lincoln automobile made by Ford.
Wow.
Did you know that? Yeah.
Lincoln had a secretary named Kennedy who told him not to go to the theater. Kennedy had a secretary named Evelyn Lincoln who warned him not to go to Dallas.
Where did we find out Paul was dead?
I'm sorry, say it.
Where did we find out Paul was dead? That's coming up.
Oh, man.
Go ahead.
Both presidents.
I know you're just reading it. We believe it. It's true. This is true. All this stuff is true.
Presidents' last names have 7 letters. Both presidents have 5 syllables in their full name, which counts Kennedy's middle initial, so it's John F. Kennedy. There are 6 letters in each Johnson's first names, Andrew and Lyndon. Booth, now this one gets me, I like this one. Booth ran from a theater to a warehouse. Oswald ran from a warehouse to a theater. Both Johnsons were succeeded as presidents in the year 69 by Republicans whose mothers were named Hannah. And finally, the last one, both never drank decaffeinated coffee. I just made that one up.
No, I was going to say.
That's the problem right there. That's why they got shot.
I want to hear more about their Johnsons. Can we?
Yeah, and both of their Johnsons were.
Both presidents were circumcised. They weren't both Catholic. Like, you know, here's what I always love about these things. And it is remarkable coincidences.
Like a conspiracy.
Everyone is a remarkable coincidence. That's not a conspiracy. Somebody had to sit around and figure that out. Now, that's a person who needs a life. That's not the point. The point is, let's now talk about all the things that were not similar.
Yeah.
And we'll be here, you know, well, doomsday.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we'll be right? here forever, yeah.
Lincoln was 7'2". John F. Kennedy was 5'9". Jackie was wearing pink when her husband was shot. Mary was wearing what? Who knows, right?
Nothing.
She was naked. Mary. Lee Harvey Oswald, here's the most amazing one. Recently we found out that John Wilkes Booth was part of a conspiracy. They were going to kidnap the president. They didn't. The initial thing wasn't to shoot the president. John Wilkes Booth, the other guy with 3 names, he and 4 other guys were going to, but they couldn't work it out. They just couldn't get, they couldn't figure out how to do it. So John Wilkes Booth got so pissed, he said, all right, I'll just shoot him. And he went to the theater and shot him now, right? So there was no conspiracy. The Lee Harvey Oswald didn't know a whole bunch of other guys, and he wasn't going to kidnap Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
No, so that's dissimilar right there.
Kidnapping and president napping.
If the president was napping, he wouldn't be out there.
he wouldn't be dead.
Is the president napping or has he been shot? I leave him alone. He's just napping. we're at Cthulhu Chronicles here, Y2K Plus 13, and we're having a discussion, a spirited discussion, on JFK. John F. Kennedy. You know, they didn't call Lincoln, though. They didn't call him
Abe L.
Was his middle initial L, you said?
I don't know his middle initial. I wonder, wonder what it
There's
is.
There's another one. A-L-L or A-L-L?
Jeremy is your researcher there. Maybe you could
get on your smartphone and
Google
see.
It.
Google Abraham Lincoln's middle name. A listener says what?
That the difference is, another difference is Lincoln owned a beard. Kennedy owned Marilyn Monroe's.
Oh, happy birthday. We played that at the beginning of the show. So playing, singing happy birthday. And Meryl did, well, we won't go into that because that really doesn't have any pertinence. I learned more about JFK as a kid, which I never knew. And, you know, he would have loved this show because they say he was in very bad health as a youngster. Mm-hmm. And he had when he got colitis, I think, at one point or something. And then he almost died a couple of times. And but they said he was always joking around. And even when he was at Harvard, he would make jokes. He was just constantly fooling around and joking around. What did you do? Get another listener written comment?
No, I'm trying to find out Abe's middle name.
Oh, Abe's middle name. So he would he was quite a kibitzer. And of course we know how he
does not have a middle name.
He does not. Abraham didn't have a middle name.
Abraham Lincoln, like a few people, has the distinction of not having a middle name.
He does not have a middle name. But and wow. Also,
see, there's a big difference, huh?
Yeah, there's a really big difference. Abraham Lincoln was a vampire hunter, and Kennedy was not.
Kennedy was a rabbit hunter.
Kennedy was not
a wabbit.
Kennedy, yeah, I thought he was pretty witty. He was a pretty witty
guy.
Yes,
he was a witty guy, funny guy, and he was a good writer. He wasn't like Obama, who writes much of his own material. In fact, I didn't know his press secretary, but I knew someone who was sponsored by his press secretary during the Carter campaign. You remember I was on the Carter campaign?
Yes, yes, yeah.
A kid who from France who was sponsored to be here. Pierre Salinger was
Pierre Salinger.
Press secretary. I don't think Lincoln had a press secretary, and I don't think there's any comparison right there. But I knew he would often talk to this friend of mine, the guy who got me involved in the Carter campaign. But I have no other connection. Do you have any other connection to Kennedys, or do you know anybody, Tom, who was connected to Kennedys, or anybody in that circle, or anything? Or
Not directly. I don't have a personal, you know, line of connection with Kennedy. No,
we're like so many people are like thousands of degrees separation. Between them. I don't know anybody who knows them. I thought, I really thought that John Jr. would, get into politics. Well, maybe he would have, he probably would have been elected solely on being a handsome guy. And there's a guy who might have, made it into that realm, that level for the country, because that's certainly.
Yeah. But, you know, you remember what the people just sort of threw Carolyn into the – they threw her hat in the ring. They threw her in the ring. They threw her under the bus because she really didn't want anything to do with politics. But, you know, remember when she was up – what was she – she was running for Senate, I think.
Well, they just made her –
For wasn't she being considered for Ted Kennedy's
– Yes, New York. No, it's something in New Yorker. They wanted her to run in New York. Or,
yes, and then they wanted her to run for in the New York senator. Oh, no, I remember now, because Hillary Clinton was a senator in New York, but she left for something
to be Secretary of State.
And they were considering Carolyn to run for her office, but she was really not prepared or really didn't want to, but. You know, I guess if enough people
voted for her, she would have been there.
Just shove you into it. You have to do this, you know. And
they just made her ambassador to Japan.
Seriously, yes. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Oh. So, okay. So I guess, you know, so she's doing something. I mean, you know, ambassadorships aren't necessarily the most political positions, but but I don't know. It's the first time she's out there. But
John was, you know, John, of course, had the magazine. Mm-hmm. What was the name of the
George
magazine?
George Washington.
Yeah.
George Washington. Yeah. There's a name for a magazine.
Yeah.
What does that mean? George Washington.
George Washington magazine. Hey, see this month in George Washington.
Yeah, George Washington.
The latest issue of William Howard Taft.
Did you see the latest? That, was that a plane going by?
Oh, yeah. look, this microphone.
Burbank Airport. Speaking of Burbank, Burbank Airport.
I am close to an airport, yeah. So.
Burbank, right?
Yeah, Burbank Airport, yeah.
Okay.
But
named after the East.
For some reason, this mic really picks up airplanes.
That's okay. It's all right. The point is digression, and we're making it.
That mic is strong.
Yeah, isn't it? That's a strong mic. Well, they're big planes, and they come down close when they land, Jeremy. I don't know if you know that. But
I have it on a plane.
They land, they hit. You are. That's right. You went to California. Yeah. Why didn't you say hello to Tom when you went to California?
I don't know Tom.
Okay.
Oh, now I do.
That's
next time I'm in California, I'll visit.
That's
next
no
time
excuse.
You're in California, you definitely have to.
We're here.
Next time I'm in California, I'll be living there.
That's right. Jeremy will be moving out there, so you'll be able to see him.
And really?
And he could be over your shoulder while we're doing the show. And I'll sit here.
You're moving to California?
I am, after I graduate in roughly a year from now.
If he graduates.
Oh, wow.
No, he'll graduate. Okay. He's doing fine. You'll graduate, I know.
Oh,
I know.
Thanks, Frank.
You will. I know you will. You're in good with your teachers.
I'll come visit, Tom, first thing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
We're here, and we're talking about the what everybody's talking about. Now, tomorrow is actually, well, if you're listening live, then you have to be. No, you don't have to be, because you could be listening later on, or you could be picking this up on Juiced Radio and playing it on your iPad, your iPhone, your ibuprofen, whatever it is you use. You could be listening later, but tomorrow is actually the day when it happened. I didn't mention what happened. Well, I don't remember a lot about it. I do remember teachers. I remember something coming over the loudspeaker in school. We were in grade school, Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Grade school. And I remember being brought into this big room where they had a television. Isn't this funny to think that the school had a room where they have a big television? I mean, think about this now. It's absurd, right? This gigantic television with big tubes, you know, and the and they brought us in there to sit, and they turned on the news, and we were all didn't know what was going on at that particular point. But I do.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Now, I promised everyone, and we're going to do this after the 10 o'clock. We'll take a short couple of minutes break. I'm going to do my imitation of Lee Harvey Oswald being shot.
I was waiting for that. It was like,
it's coming.
When we decided hit the subject, I said, oh, Frank will be doing his Lee Harvey Oswald impersonation. I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you. Thank you. There's not a lot of imitations that I do, but I'm well known across the cybersphere.
Yeah.
For this one, and there's just not a lot. And I please do not. You know, you could you can tape it if you want. I say tape. Listen to me. I'm always dating myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Tom has a. What do you have there?
Betamaxes and.
Put on your Betamax. Oh, look at this. He's got a Life magazine. Is that a recent? Is that out now?
This is a new one. Life. Here he is in Fort. This is the morning of the.
Okay, everybody look.
people can't see it, though.
Life magazine. All the magazines are in such bad shape that Life magazine has to come out with debt issues and celebration issues and. I mean, they don't have anything anymore. They just got all these pictures, right?
That's life.
There's no way. That's life. There's, you know, there's nothing. There's nothing else there. I heard today, not that this has anything to do with it, but I heard Sears and Roebuck, just Sears. Is it Sears and Roebuck? Are they still together? Those guys?
Barnes and Noble.
No, they're just now. It's just Sears.
Sears. Okay, yeah. Sears. Well, Sears is lost. $534 million since August, and they're losing.
Whoa.
They're losing so much money that they're very they're on the precipice of well, I guess bankruptcy would be closing or what have you.
You know what? You know who I think is doing worse than Sears?
Who
is like Sears's younger sister, Bon-Ton.
Bon-Ton is Sears' younger sister. Kohl's is in trouble too.
Are they?
And so is
really?
Yeah. There's a lot of businesses in trouble, and here's the reason why. And I'm just saying this because of, you know, the Hallelujah Trail. We talked about this all along. The whole digital world, and yet today the stock market hit 16,000, the highest mark, and it made three records this year.
Just a comment on that, Frank. We're talking about this last night, my wife and I. Remember when a stock market would hit some major peak, you know? Remember how good it was for the president?
Yes.
But now it's like...
Nothing's good
it's
for
nothing.
Obama.
It's like Obama has nothing to do with
nothing
it.
Nothing is good.
The president's never had anything to do with it, but they somehow the president's used to get credit for it somehow.
Well, if there's credit to be given, it won't be given to President Obama. We all know that.
Yes, absolutely.
But what did they said? And here's the explanation. I thought this was fascinating. Not fascinating. It's true, but it's because corporations are making money hand over foot. I don't know why hand over foot. I don't even understand why people make money hand over foot. I don't know where the phrase originated or what have you.
It was hand over fist.
Okay, they're making it hand over. So there is none. That's why I don't know where it came from, because I've been saying it wrong all these. Why would you make money hand over foot? No. Oh, yeah. That makes
Their
sense
hands
now.
Are over
oh, yeah. Hand over fist. Well, that sure makes that makes sense. Okay.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, not either. No, and nor does what we said before that we took for granted. What was that? What was that phrase he used before? I don't know. Okay. So it's because corporations are making money, humongous profits, because they are operating with less people. Because the digital revolution has made it possible to fire so many people you don't need anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. But of course, Obama gets blamed for everybody being fired. Mm-hmm. That goes without saying. So they're making money and they're making profits, more profits, because they don't have to pay people. See, and if they opt out of Obamacare, they don't have to pay anything to anybody, and there's just a whole bunch of people making a whole bunch of money. So this is affecting the stuff. And plus, I hear bonds are horrible. You can't get any money from bonds. Remember, CDs are worth nothing in the banks. Nothing's worth anything. So everybody's going into the stock market. Google stock.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how much you want to buy a Google stock? One share. What is it, Tom? Google.
Dude, no, I don't know. How much?
$1,000.
$1,000 a share.
Isn't that unbelievable? You know, it was LinkedIn is up 92%. All these, you know, Facebook is up even after their initial opening.
Twitter started pretty well. Yes. They got off to a good start.
So people are investing in all the digital operations, and that's why there's unemployment, and that's why. So we're really going through a great period of adjustment. This is all adjustment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as far as I don't know what Kennedy would have done about that.
Ask not what your stock can do. I don't know.
Who wrote that?
I didn't get time to do it. I was going to do a funny bit, like when he was writing that, you know, like saying he couldn't think of the phrase, you know, he'd say, "Don't ask what I can." Don't
the draft.
You shouldn't. Don't even think of it. No, I can't think of it.
When you think about your country, don't go asking. That's no good, right?
No. Wrong.
And then he figures it out because he happened to be at a dinner with Don Knotts, and somebody said,
"I said, ask, you want some help? Ask Knotts."
Right. Exactly. And he said, pass the butter. Ask not. Oh, wait, I like that.
Take out the don't. You don't want to start the whole – it's negative. Don't. That's probably what it was, too. And I don't know who wrote that. I don't think it was him. And it's amazing to think that person is walking around now. Say every time he hears it, goes, that's mine. And he'll throw something at him, right? That's my speech. Kennedy. Yeah. But if anybody else had said that, it probably would not have had the impact either, because, you know, just from that remarkable voice, that remarkable voice that old Greg Kinnear has tried to impersonate. So many people tried to impersonate. Hey, remember what's his name? The guy really suffered a career, the career of, God, I forgot the guy's name. The guy came out with the first family comedy album.
Oh, yeah. Man,
you know, and that
boy,
was.
Boy, there's a career that just went. Wow. Talk about that stocks finding.
I mean, his career, there's a guy. You could look it up. No, called the first. It's an album called The First Family. It came out, and Vaughn Meter. It came back to my head.
Yeah.
Vaughn Meter.
My God, and, you're really bringing back
right. And a bunch of guys came out with this album. Everybody bought this album. It sold like billions of copies, and it was a parody on The First Family, and Vaughn Meter did this incredible imitation of Jack Kennedy.
And he kind of looked like him too, you know.
He did, yes. And they uncover, and you can see it somewhere. Probably go to everything's on YouTube, or what have you. And his career was shot.
Ooh,
I'm sorry. We're here on Cthulhu Chronicles. Oh, it's Avino Cthulhu Chronicles, and Jeremy dropped by late, but he's here. and we wish we could conference you in and you could see us bending our heads and stuff, but it won't happen. The point is digression. Kennedy Chronicles, we'll take a short break so everybody could go to the bathroom because I know you probably have to. Do you have to, Tom?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. Okay, I didn't think we would have to really mention it on the air, but yes.
We'll dispose of body waste and we will continue also to
you have to ask permission.
And we'll continue to replenish our precious bodily fluids. And more about, and when we come back, I'm going to tell you about a bunch of new books that have been released about the Kennedy situation and some ones that are yet to be released. You're going to, that's going to be great. Don't you're going to hear the about impression. That there too. So, what?
The get the impression.
And that's right. And I will be impersonating Lee Harvey Oswald. Who was shot by my Uncle Jack. We'll get into that and what made that even stranger. Okay, so everybody, do what you got to do while we play this, and we shall be right back.
Cthulhu Chronicles, the internet talk show from the Neo Postmodern World.
To see me. Radio. Join Skylar Hall and Bolo Cute Fox for a rousing round of music that spans the genres. It's hotspotradio.net. Radio. He'll take listener requests and dish it all live on SRN1. It's hotspotradio.net. Live every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. EST.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky escapades. Parallel universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves a tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
Juiced Talk Radio. It's juicy. JuicedTalk.com. Hear Frank Cotolo's Cotolo Chronicles.
Imagine if there were companies that made cookies, and they only got together to make like one a certain amount of cookies for a certain amount of time. Okay.
Transistor by Velvet Steel.
You know, you've got short nipples, you've got long nipples that stick up from the body, you've got big areolas, you've got small areolas, you've got different colors, you've got hair growing off them, you've got everything going, you've got veiny nipples, you've got all kinds of different things. But for some people, they have really small nipples.
And the Fabulous D Show by me, the Artist D.
You bring this out in me.
I know. And that's why this is so unique, because you could do a million of your own shows.
And yet I would never do this there, no.
Exactly. You'd never start saying, who did they suck off to get that?
All at Juiced Talk, archived for your listening pleasure. JuicedTalk.com.
His downloads are free.
Blah, blah, blah. They killed a goose.
Blah, blah, blah.
And now stuck with this. Stuck with this fucking shit.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. This shit's not right. Hey. Stuck with this fucking shit.
Yeah, that's good.
That's right. You're goddamn right. It's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Wait, hey. Stuck with this fucking shit. That's right. You're goddamn right. It's right. Guys come in. Order, blah, blah, blah. That's right.
This
you're goddamn right.
Ed
right.
Harris.
That's right.
Listen.
You're goddamn right. It's right.
Yeah, exactly.
I know what I'll do. I'll go out and rob everybody blind and go to Argentina because nobody ever thought of this before.
Tell them.
Guys come in. Order, blah, blah, blah. That's right. You're goddamn right.
What
it's
do they
right.
say?
You know, so they killed a goose and a fucking man's worked all his life. He's got a
that's right.
cower in his boots.
Boots. Yes.
Guys come in. Order, blah, blah, blah.
That's right.
You goddamn right, it's right.
What do you do?
What can you do?
What can you do?
Guys come in, order, blah, 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 blah,
take four, Ed.
Blah, 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 blah.
Does anybody know what movie that's taken?
What movie is that from?
It's from the film version of Glengarry Glen Ross.
Okay.
Blah, 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 blah. They say there's been, we're here, Cotolo Chronicles again, and those are all the places you could go. We just remind you also that we're going to give thanks to the internet, so digest your turkey dinner and whatever it is you eat on that day. Bring the whole family downstairs. Like, that's going to happen. Hey, come on. It's that time.
Now that we've eaten, let's go listen to Cotolo Chronicles.
Like then, a fireside chat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then we can have that turkey sandwich. We're going to talk, we'll do my monologue here. Give thanks to the internet. So many things I know about the internet. You know, I've been here almost from the beginning of this wave of internet. It's actually from the beginning. Because, you know, before there was broadband, it was really weird because you had that, have Windows and all that junk. And that'll be November 28th. Then December 5th, the week after that, Dr. Woldar and Sky Hall will be here. We're talking about men from Mars. There actually are men from Mars. We now have a profile of men from Mars. Arguably two of the smartest people in the world, Dr. Andrew Woldar, who's – I keep forgetting the name of the – where he teaches, that very famous Pennsylvania. He's a professor. He teaches math and science and all sorts of weird things at Villanova. There you go. Villanova. He's a Villanova.
Villanova.
Yeah, very famous.
Is that – by the way, is that the same doctor who is really expert in Tonto jokes?
Yes, absolutely. Wow. Would you expect somebody – it almost goes to stands to reason that somebody who would know about the velocity of a man playing the velocity of the ball of a man playing ping pong. Things blow my mind with all this stuff about the stars and the universe. And then, of course, you know, we did a whole show, Tom, on the God particle. You've heard about the God particle, right?
Oh, yeah. So, yes, he was talking about that?
Oh, God, I'm still trying to figure out what the heck that's all about. You know, the one particle that makes all matter.
Yeah.
I stop and I go, okay, the one particle that makes all matter.
You know, that's what, right. And all, without that, nothing matters.
Yeah. What's the matter? I say all the time. December 12th, Steve Olsher will be here, and he has a new book. It's called, I don't mean to laugh at it, but it's What Is Your What? It's called What Is Your What? And I guess it's the who's who of self-help books. What is your what?
Why?
Why?
And hey, I heard the little cut. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go. What cut?
You're gonna say what?
One more. Okay, December. The next December, we don't know. And then, of course, December 28th, roll call from the Bone Garden with the Artist-y. What were you gonna say?
Oh, the Artist-y. Mm-hmm. You played a little clip from that person's show, and that person's show is on when?
Sundays. Go to theartistd.com.
On Sundays, yeah, okay. It's very interesting. I think I'm going to give that a listen.
And then you can download them also at Juice Talk.
Okay.
Dee has been Dee has kind of turned out to be like a spinoff of this show, because Dee did tons of things. And Dee has been around from the beginning of the internet also. But I had Dee on the show many years ago and then kind of pushed Dee into doing radio. And Dee has become very popular radio. That thing, great voice and very funny, and what I like doing Bone Garden with Dee is because Dee is younger than I, and so there's a lot of people, you get two versions. You get the old, I don't want to say older, I hate that. Aged sounds bad too.
Tom. Matured, the matured.
Well, Dee's matured, but I mean generation, a different generation. Yeah, you get the vintage classic. What do they call vintage? That's what they call it on porn now. Vintage, do you know that? The porn from the original, you know, from those eras, like at the era, the beginning.
Oh, you mean like Deep Throat?
And yeah, and Mona. Yeah, you know, vintage. Vintage, like. Let me just mention, and then I could do this whatever funniness I have with this. But here's a bunch of books now that are coming out. There's a book called A Cruel and Shocking Act. These are, you know, books are expensive too now. Yes, when you just get regular books. If you don't have a Kindle or a Spindle or a Bolt or a Jolt or
a nook or a cranny or
an English muffin. A Cruel and Shocking Act focuses on the seven members of the Warren Commission. And staff, I'm not advertising these books, just telling you these books are out. We're not getting any kickback or anything, and we don't want you to buy these. We want you to buy the other books that we advertise. These, just go over there and get those. How about the Day Kennedy Died, 50 Years Later, Life Remembers? I think that's what you have. Is that what you have right there, Tom?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's not a book. It's the Day Kennedy. Is it a book?
Life Magazine.
It's sort of a special edition magazine.
You know, it's funny. When I was in publishing, they called magazines books, no matter what. They said, hey, well, how's this week's book? They always call it a book.
How much did that cost, Tom?
It cost too much, and it was, and it, where is it?
Photo-fueled volume.
And in the United States, I could have got it a little more in Canada, but it was $12.99.
Okay, because in here it says it's $50.
Because this is Life Books. Really? That must be.
It's kind of like the stock market. It just went up. Should hold on to it now. So.
What you're holding, Tom, must be the lost leader for the big one. They kept a whole bunch of pictures and stuff out of there.
Oh,
see, Life Issue. Right. Okay, yeah.
So you're missing out.
End of Days: The Assassination of John Kennedy is available because the author is readable because the author writes it like he would a fast-paced true crime book, but every angle. You see, every angle they could get.
Wow.
Reclaiming History: The Assassination of John F. Kennedy promises to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Oswald acted alone.
Who wrote that one?
That's who wrote that one? Promises by who? There's no author here. Isn't that something?
Norton.
I think Norton's the Norton's the publisher.
Norton.
You know, because you know, we did a whole show not too long ago about what I see as the Supreme Court coup
right.
of America. And most of what I was saying was based on Vincent Bugliosi's
right
book. And I obviously, as you know, I respect Vincent Bugliosi, but he did come out with a book about this Kennedy assassination, and he totally says it was just Lee Harvey Oswald. And for people who argue with him as how could you believe that, his comeback is, did you read the 7 volumes of the Warren Report? Because I did. Mm. You know, so don't like even get into the discussion unless you've done the work. That was his point.
The thing before I go on, let's I don't want to lose this thought, and it can, believe me, be lost, because the point is digression.
The point is digression.
And that is that I sat back and as a handicapper of life happened, of things, you know, the mathematical side of it. Uh-huh. And I thought about all these conspiracies and everything. And of course, there's no proof, but we do have proof that there was a guy named Lee Harvey Oswald. He had a gun. That bullet came out of that gun, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Right. But, and you got to say to yourself, when they talk about that magic bullet.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in a pie of 100%, which would have every possible circumstance that would lead to what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You can't dismiss the fact that Oswald shot at the president, and then the bullet did on its own what a bullet did at that time, at that moment. I mean, that bullet may never have done that again. It was perfect, mm-hmm. is what I'm saying. Everything went perfectly. And mm-hmm. he just wanted to kill the president. He probably, who knows, if when he saw Connolly lean over after the second, you know, he probably went, oh, darn, I didn't want to hit him. I mean, who knows?
You see? Yeah, really.
Maybe
we don't know that. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So the possibility as Bugliosi, did I say his name right?
Yes.
He's absolutely correct. It probably was that. And of course, if you saw The Godfather, you know that there's just so many mob associated theories based on that. And certainly that would be in the pie also. But how on earth would you find that out? We can't find out who killed. We don't even know the guys who shot. Name a guy who got shot. Who was the Italian guy got shot? Remember that day?
John Lennon.
Not John Lennon. We know who shot John Lennon.
Okay.
No, the mobster, the guy, the Italian. What was his name? Not Gallo. Well, we don't know who shot Gallo. We don't know those guys. Who were those guys? Who shot Gallo? Who shot?
I don't know.
How can I not remember his name?
Giovanni.
I don't remember his name. But anyway, so we don't know. So, yeah, I kind of agree with – why don't you hold on with what you believe, Tom, and we'll get to that later. Just make a note.
Sure.
Make a note. Now that your saxophone's in the room again. Now that your saxophone –
It was when Bugliosi's book came out, I started doubting, you know, saying, well, gee, I really do respect this guy. And I've read one of his books already, and he's not – for him to, you know, come out and really do the research and do that, maybe it's true. Maybe it is just Lee Harvey Oswald. Maybe it is just that. But after I did the research again now for tonight's show, I'm sorry.
But you still think there's weird stuff.
It's a conspiracy. It's got to be a conspiracy. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I kind of think it's all just...
Come in, order, blah, blah, blah.
That's right.
I think it's all...
Come in, order, blah, blah, blah.
I think it's all just blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah.
Do that.
Blah, blah, blah. Let's do Bob Moran.
Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah.
The Man Who Killed Kennedy. How about this book here? The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ. You know, Johnson had a lot of, you know, they said, well, he hated him anyway. Johnson hated him anyway.
But now that you listen, do you remember this, Frank?
What?
That there was a pretty famous then at the time, but nobody remembers it now. But at the time, there was a 60 Minutes interview with Lyndon Johnson.
It's on YouTube.
Mike Wallace did the interview with Johnson. And the deal was you cannot broadcast this interview until after I'm dead.
Yeah.
That was Johnson's
which is clearly evidence that he was involved. I mean, clearly, right?
Of course.
I mean, why? Yeah, right, that's it. There's your evidence right there. That should have blown the case wide open, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh yeah, but we know now for sure.
Yes,
we know now for sure that in Dallas that day was E. Howard Hunt. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember him?
Yeah,
from,
he was
the Nixon days,
the Watergate scandal.
And do you know what he was? Before he was the Watergate mastermind. For Nixon.
Yeah, he was a member.
He was a CIA assassin. was an assassin for the CIA.
Now, was he really?
Yes.
Okay. See, I don't understand they say these things.
In Dallas, mm-hmm. although he denied it until on his deathbed, he took an interview with Rolling Stone magazine and said it was a conspiracy. Now people are debunking that, saying that he only said that because he wanted to increase sales of his book for his children after he died, so his children would have money. But I don't know. He was in Dallas. He is the guy who smoked the pipe. Witnesses saw a guy with a pipe and a gun from the Grassy Knoll area, and I think that it was E. Howard Hunt who was the guy with the gun. And all
well,
of
you know, wait a second. If he was a CIA agent, he could have a gun. He could have a gun. That doesn't mean he shot the president, does it?
Oh, of course not. No, it doesn't mean he shot the president.
So he happened.
But then why for decades did he say no? I wasn't in Dallas.
How many other people might have been in the crowd along that trip had guns? Mm-hmm. We don't know.
Well, especially in Texas, it could have been anybody. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. There's been a lot.
I'm just being.
But you know, you mentioned the guy, the director of JFK,
Oliver Stone.
Oliver Stone. He said he was an infantryman himself when in the army.
Yeah.
And he's seen people shot, and he sees what happens when they get shot and how their body reacts. And he said that one of his major things for thinking it was a conspiracy is that Kennedy went back and to the left when he was shot with the second bullet, which shows that he was shot from the front, not from the rear. And now you mentioned the internet and everything. Now that we could do all this research in like no time flat, and we could we could see the film, the Zapruder film. We could see it over and over again. You could slow it up as, you know, you could freeze it and slow it up on your own computer. It's so clearly he was shot from the front. You could see it clearly that he was shot from the front. And, you know, so I definitely think it was a conspiracy. The doctor, you had mentioned earlier in the show that there was a doctor who worked on the body in Dallas. Well, that one of the doctors who worked on the body in Dallas, Kennedy's body, just weeks later saw photos of Kennedy's body when it went to Washington, D.C. And they had the photographs of Kennedy's body from Washington, D.C. Autopsy. And he said, that is not the way the head looked when we saw it, that there has been surgery done on the head. I take it back. He did not say there was surgery done on the head, but he did say, and I saw it on the film, he did say that what the condition of the Kennedy's head in Dallas was not the same as the photo I see of the autopsy that was performed in Washington, D.C. He did say that. And there was a bullet hole in the front of his skull that appears to have been surgically corrected for the autopsy in Washington, D.C. There's so many, many. I mean, you know, you just keep going forever again with all the crazy craziness of this. What do you think, Frank?
Well, I didn't even see this before, but let me just mention that I did that. Bugliosi wrote the book Reclaiming History: The Assassination of John F. Kennedy. It was reissued. He wrote it in 2007. This is the one that I mentioned. It said, beyond a reasonable doubt that Oswald acted alone. I didn't know what you saying. Who was the author? It was Bugliosi. So
That was the Bugliosi one.
They reissued that book. What was I thinking about? What you said?
One of our listeners.
We had a listener saying something. What was our listener saying?
He says the only angle that shows any consistency with Kennedy's wounds is the angle from the fifth floor of the depository.
I don't know that one at all. I don't know.
Tom begs a difference. He says,
you know, I told you, Tom, before this anniversary came about, it was, I don't know, months ago, maybe it was last year, I said, hey, you have to see this, I don't know if it was on PBS or it was on the Discovery Channel or the Learning Channel or Learn to Discover Channel or Discover to Learn Channel or one of these channels. But
yeah, you told me about this. Yeah, go ahead.
A couple of forensic, some guys, went out to like the Mythbusters, you know, they went out and they recreated the entire thing with the same gun, with dummies that were built to be the same weight as the president and the governor, and they used the same car, and they did all this stuff very mathematically from the angles of to shoot and everything, and they recreated the bullet to kill. They did it again, and what they did was, you know, they were like, it was like the guys. Remember the Chariots of the Gods? Remember that guy?
No.
Chariots of the Gods, the guy who said the aliens built the pyramids. Eric Von Doniggin, right?
Remember yes. Wow. Well, I think we did some bits about that.
Yeah, maybe we did Derek Von Lonigan or something.
Yeah.
But, well, these guys did what the other guys did for him, because he claimed the aliens put the Easter Island
figures in Easter Island.
Just because he didn't know how humans did it. So what they did was they got together and there's a special on this too somewhere, you could find it. And they did it. They rebuilt these big things and put them on Easter Island with the same tools and the same circumstances. And the people who did the Kennedy assassination recreated the whole thing with all the same stuff, only not proving that it wasn't any kind of conspiracy, but proving that it could have been, again, in the 100% pie, it really could have been exactly.
It could have been that way.
Yes. And I think that's what all the stuff that we don't read know about, and that's why Bugliosi, who, you know, that guy's a genius. This is the guy who got Charles Manson. This is the guy who finally realized that there was a track on a Beatles album that launched the murders of people, and he proved it and put Charles Manson away. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. This guy is terrific. So I think, you know, I would really believe him before I believe Oliver Stone, who, by the way, was probably high when he said that, when he thought it, and when he did everything about it. But you know something else Oliver Stone said about JFK? He said, I don't know. You know, a lot of this stuff was fiction. A lot of the stuff, you know, the points that we brought out in the movie didn't exactly happen, but whatever. But what we wanted to do was make sure that people would give it pause, because the government said this is the way it happened, and he just wanted to open up another door and say, well, maybe it didn't happen the way they said it did. That's all he said, and then he smoked another pound.
Well, of course, who was the attorney general at the time? Bobby Kennedy. But because his brother was shot and he had to deal with his family and the funeral stuff and all that stuff, he was part of the family. There was another, the second person in charge of the job of attorney general, the acting attorney general, sent a memo, and this document exists, and I've seen it. Of course, I have not seen in paper in my hand the document. I've only seen a photo of the document. And yes, if it's a photo of the document, it could be a phony document. But it was a memo to Johnson, Lyndon Johnson, and so the acting attorney general said, above all, we must make the public think this was only one person did this. Now, again, that doesn't mean
conspiracy. Yeah. Right. It just means let's not – yeah, he said, look, if we got the guy – and by that time they had him, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so by that time they had him, they said, look, let's not – you know, because look what could happen. This could cause the most – they were just playing it safe. Suppose there's a whole people, they could get militias together because they think the government did it. And then there'll be unrest and there'll be shootings and there'll be riots. I mean, you know, so that, again, that's another thing. If he said that, and how do we know that's all he said? We don't know what, you see this, in other words, you know, the more questions there are about something, the less mysterious it should be. It's not the other way around. You know, it's not the more that are answered. Mm-hmm. That give you the facts. It's the more that are questioned because, let's face it, we could question. But you know, the best conspiracy thing I think that fits is the mob profile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I don't know why how they would get a hold of a guy like Lee Harvey Oswald, but I think anybody who, if you want to talk about the government conspiracies, don't work at all for me. It's just too convoluted. There'd be too many people involved. Someone would have had to say something, and it all would have been blown up. It's just, I think that's pretty much the smallest possibility. But the mob thing, I think, has a bigger, because they do it, and they still do it. They do it. They can do it, and they do it. They can get anybody to kill anybody, and they do it. So why not a president? And especially since he had, you know, connections with the GM, I think it was Giambini or whoever it was there.
Giancana.
Wasn't he having an affair with one of her lady? I mean, there's...
Yeah.
But you know what? Even if they just didn't want him, they could... I think that's the most likely. I don't think they did it, but I think that's the most likely if I had to handicap the situation.
If I had to choose my favorite conspiracy, since I've done the research recently now, and this is going to really sound way out there because like, oh my God, what are you, but George Bush, not George W. Bush, George Bush, I think, was actually the mastermind of this conspiracy. He was the head of the CIA once. He denied that he was in the CIA earlier, but we now know that he was in the CIA earlier. He knew E. Howard Hunt very closely. The whole Bay of Pigs thing was... pretty much his doing. He owned an oil company called Zapata Oil, which was just off the coast of Cuba. And by the way, we do know, I mean, it's like known now. It's not a conspiracy, not a crazy thing. It's a known entity thing that the CIA tried to assassinate Castro numerous times with poisonous cigars and all kinds of crazy things, you know, that just didn't work. And in fact, from what I heard recently in the research, that Castro was aware that there would be an assassination attempt on Kennedy. Not that he was involved, but no, that he
spoke.
He knew.
He brought it up recently to news people. He said, and he's, cause you know, he's like, even though he's 108 years old, whatever, he said, you gotta be crazy if you thought I could. He said, I would have been crazy to do something like that. I mean, I don't know how I would have done it. He said, but that really would have been nuts. I'm not that nuts. And I believe him.
Yeah, I think from what I hear, he told his, Secret Service guys or his CIA guys, the equivalent in Cuba.
It would be CIA. With the Cuban intelligence agency, it would still be CIA.
Yeah, it would still be the CIA.
The CIA shooting me at
the Cuba Inteligencia Agencia.
Agencia. Oh.
Yes.
Andale.
And he said, listen to everything that's coming out of Dallas November 22nd. I want to hear. Because he apparently knew that there would be an attempt on the president's life. He was not involved. He didn't have anything to do with it, but he heard it may come down. And,
I don't know. When is that, though? Where did you hear that? What? Where did he say that? Is it in a book? Where's that documented at all?
Good question.
Well, that's a good idea. Yeah, we need to know these things, or we could make up stuff. And, tons of people are making up stuff.
Sure. You can make up stuff, you can. And I guarantee you that probably there's been many people that made up stuff about this. I read this recently. I really don't remember. Mm. And, it wasn't Wikipedia, so it was, I can't really say it was a reputable source, but, he was, and I do remember reading about this, that he was kind of rooting that it would happen, because he knew that CIA had tried to kill him. Mm-hmm. But he didn't have anything to do with it. He was just wondering what was going to happen.
Yeah. Well, he was really pissed off because he wanted us to know the invasion. He wanted it to be called the Bay of Swine, and he was insulted when we used the word pigs. I want to say this is either going to bomb like a horrible or not. But I just wanted to mention a couple of other books that haven't been talked about yet.
Oh, boy.
Here we go. Okay. There's a couple of books, just a couple of Kennedy books, which, are coming out. There's LBJ Secret Meaning. It's LBJ. And this is what we're talking about, Lyndon Baines Johnson. Lyndon Baines Johnson really means Lyndon Bald Jackie. LBJ really means Lyndon Bald Jackie.
Lyndon Bald Jackie.
And that was the code for a secret plot to kill the president. That's another book coming out right there. Going to be out soon now. And here's another one. Here's one I think we're all going to want to read. It's called Jump to the Day Before. Jump to the Day Before. A thorough look of everything going on the day prior to the Kennedy assassination as seen through the eyes of an acrobat. And that's a good one. And there's another one here. Happened to Jackie, Jackie and him, she wasn't so happy about him. He had affairs and did all sorts of stuff. And, Jackie knew is the name of this book. Jackie knew. And what? How do we know that? Why did Jackie Kennedy wear pink on November 22nd? And how did that affect her husband's murder?
Yeah, because that's a pretty good target, see the pink and the... In a crowd of people.
Here's another one. 5 hours after assassination. What happened exactly 5 hours after Kennedy was pronounced dead in Dallas?
Oh, that's...
Aren't you going to read... You want to read that one? Okay, there you got two more here. This is a good one. Here's one. It's called... read over my shoulder. It's called JFK Lives. That's right. He's not actually dead. He's not.
Yeah, that's conspiracy. This is
JFK Lives.
This is not
what
part of the weird conspiracy stuff. This is fact too.
Yes,
they lost his brain. How could they lose the president's brain?
How do you lose the president's brain? That's right. This guy. In other words, it's different if the president goes, "What was I thinking? I lost my head."
They
didn't lose it.
They took it. They say they lost it, but they took it and put it in another JFK body.
They put it in another Kennedy guy. Mm. Or they made, they probably, it was the first. JFK Lives is actually the hoax that he died and that he actually now lives with Elvis and Andy Kaufman.
Oh.
Okay, see, that's it.
Wow.
And here's my favorite.
I gotta get that one.
Here's my favorite. The Kennedy assassination, it was mass hysteria, mass hypnosis. The whole thing was mass hypnosis. He's not dead. He didn't, it never happened. It's called A Nightmare on Elm Street. See, everybody's looking because you don't know that's where it was, Elm Street. There's a couple of books that right there.
Buy those books now.
Get those books right now, and because there'll be plenty more coming out. I just wanted to once again show how ludicrous it can get when you start to talk conspiracy and how many other conspiracies there are. I mean, that George Bush thing is really out there, man. That's really out there.
That's, you think so?
Oh, it's way out there.
Ah.
I know. You ever get, you know, here's a guy where very quick, everyone who is a critic of George Bush, not the first George Bush.
This is not George
the dad. The dad. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant it wasn't the dad. It was the other one. Oh, it was George Herbert Walker.
Yes, George Herbert Walker.
That's still out there. That's,
remember,
you know,
once he was the head of the CIA in the Nixon administration, administration, and he, you know, was asked, well, why should you be the head of the CIA if you were never in the CIA? And he said, well, Nixon thought I would be good at this, and but he was in the CIA, but he just never admitted he was in the CIA. And because when you're in the CIA, really, you don't admit that you're in the CIA.
No, you say
you're... There's a go around saying, hey, here's my card, I'm in the CIA, you know.
You don't let anybody use your shoe phone either.
Yeah, never.
Remember after 9/11, have you seen any of those documentaries about 9/11? I mean, people that actually, what are they, there's a special name for that too. People who think we attacked ourselves. I mean, this is like insane, beyond belief, insane.
Thank God my dad.
Tom, don't look at me that way, Tom. That stuff is just out
I'm not,
of
I'm not
this.
One of those people.
That is like
I'm
just.
I'm not one of those. However,
my dad is.
I do know, and the people who survived the collapse of the World Trade Center. And these are people with nothing, you know, no agenda, like a janitor, you know, who survived. I heard their testimony, and they said that they, you know, we heard explosions before a big explosion. You know, we heard a series of little explosions before the plane hit, and we wondered what that was. So I don't know. But
and who better?
And I will say, and I think everybody agrees with this, if you've seen how they destroy buildings and, you know, how those buildings collapse, it still seems amazingly similar how the buildings just collapsed that way, like the implosion kind of thing. I've heard physicists explain why it happened that way, and
yeah.
That, you know, that could
we've
be
built
right.
That
but I am not saying I believe the government purposely had the World Trade Center.
As far as those escapees are concerned, let's face it, who better to give testimony of what happened than people who went through probably one of the more traumatic experiences ever? Certainly they can just go back and remember, go past all the horror and the emotional stress, and go back and go, what were those? What were those bombs? Or what were those noises I heard before the thing? Oh, sure, sure, sure. that's really stretching it. As far as the buildings collapsed, do you think that when they built the towers, do you think that when whoever built those things,
mm-hmm. okay,
and I've heard guys who were involved in, you know, creating it, and they said, why on earth would you build buildings like that, that high and in that shape, okay, that if they collapsed, they would fall over like a tree and then crush everything in, you know, because they were big buildings, right? Why would mm-hmm. why would you do that? Now, here's the other evidence I bring up. So then, in other words, they knew how to build these things so that if anything happened, they would collapse, and they collapsed perfectly. I know this
they
too.
Would, so that they would collapse the way they did, just straight down.
And I'm going to tell you something that is personal experience, okay? I was in a death-defying accident in a Honda, and the doctors and the people said like this, and I found out later that this car was built so that it would collapse exactly the way it did to save lives. And I'm here to talk about it because hundreds of people have been killed in small cars when hit with the impact that I was hit. Okay.
Yeah.
And yet I'm here to talk about it, and I'm not blaming George Bush or anyone else or Hitler. Or anyone else. So, well, the point is that, you know, lots of times we want to know. I think it's just human nature to want to explore the stuff that's out of our control. When in fact we know, and we are available to find so many things to prove so many things. In other words, when we say that the Egyptians didn't, when the slaves and the Egyptians did not create and build the pyramids, what are we saying about mankind? What are we saying about the human spirit? It wasn't able to do it? What are we saying? We're saying that we don't even have any faith in our own species,
mm-hmm.
right? So
yes, I guess there is sort of that underlying meaning, if you say that.
And don't you think that if Lee Harvey Oswald was hired by anybody, or if there was a conspiracy, I don't see any evidence that this guy wanted to die that day or even afterwards. I mean, so how was it set up? Why doesn't someone – do you think if they could have got somebody, he would have been a little bit more professional and he would have been able to get out of – not, you know, shoots a cop along the way. He goes to a movie to hide. I mean, come on. You really didn't plan this out too well, did you, Lee? Did you?
No, he didn't.
Yeah, and I mean, if it's just going to be done professionally, you don't get some Clyde who might have missed too. I mean, that guy was – wow. I don't care what kind of a sharpshooter you are at any given time in your life. That was one heck of a shot. This is why I think that luck, which plays a great part in our lives no matter what we do, you know, just says so much about how we don't address or give enough credit to ourselves and to the circumstances that we always think, well, there's got to be something else. Boy, there's got to be something else, right?
I know. I think you get my gist here? I think that is part of who we are, to say, come on, how could, and people who hold that it is definitely Lee Harvey Oswald, they often say, look, nobody wants to believe that this insignificant guy killed this incredibly significant guy, you know? Nobody wants to believe that.
But history tells us differently.
Thinking, spinning things about, well,
doesn't history
could be this, that, or the other.
Doesn't history tell us that can happen and that has happened before?
Sure.
How significant was the guy who shot Lincoln? What about the guy who shot McKinley? What about the guy who shot Garfield? You know, and how lucky was Harry Truman, who was shot, but was it Harry Truman? One of them, who had the Bible in his pocket? Was that Harry Truman? Someone was shot, and the bullet didn't go through. I think it was Truman. Yeah, it was Truman. Okay, I'm getting an okay here from the research staff. It was Truman. He had a Bible. Truman. He had a Bible in his pocket, and the bullet didn't go through the Bible. Now, so what do Bible people say? They go, aha, you see? It's like, no. It had to do with the bullet, the velocity, the thing. It didn't. But how could he even shoot at him? And why isn't Ford dead? The one who tried to shoot, remember the Charles Manson girl tried to shoot?
Yeah. Squeaky Fromm.
Yeah. It didn't work. What happened to her? See, things go wrong. Things go right for good and bad reasons, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Cthulhu Chronicles here, the good and the bad, and of course, the point is digression as we come into the last 15 minutes of tonight to Y2K plus 13 here at Cthulhu Chronicles. Don't forget, you can get this show later on, listen to it again. And if you're really inventive, you could make a wave file out of it and then cut up all the things we say and make us say different things. It can be done. We live in that era.
Without razor blades and,
No razor blades and editing and stuff is done. It's all done digitally.
I occasionally think, I once had a job physically cutting tape with razor blades.
I was telling Jeremy when he was, that I said, you have no idea how we used to have to do this. And I have scars to prove it because I cut myself more than once doing that stuff. But anyway, you can get it at JuiceTalkRadio.com. We're here with Tom Savino and this is our monthly get together, and we decided to talk about all things Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, why isn't there more? There's not as much speculation and conspiracy connected to Robert. Is there?
Uh-uh.
Why?
Well, we got that guy, right?
Well, we got the other guy too. What do you mean you got the guy?
But, okay, but add this to it, Frank.
What?
We got the guy, and a day later, in a crowd of police, Jack Ruby shoots him in the stomach.
Jack Ruby was allowed in there, and he was a friend of the police's, and he had all sorts of stuff that allowed him, because he was he owned a club, and he was friends. He was probably paying off a lot of and who knows, if he wanted to even do it alone, isn't it possible? I just sound like a lawyer, but true, isn't it possible that if he wanted to do that all by himself, I'm going to get that guy who killed the president, I'll show him. Isn't it possible that he just bought his way into the room and found out from one of the guys he gave $25, $30 that he knew? Because, like, he had a strip club. Lord knows what he was doing in that, what laws he was breaking in that club. He had to pay off the cops. So he got in.
Sure.
So if he got in and he wanted to do it, and they go, yeah, but he was dying of cancer. Well, maybe he knew that too. And he said, what do I got to lose? I'll kill the bastard.
I brought that up because you made the comment that, well, you know, there's not any kind of conspiracy thing about Bobby Kennedy. And I said, well, but we did, you know, we arrested the guy and he's been in prison and so on. But in the JFK situation, look how it looks. You know, the guy who supposedly killed Kennedy is shot the day after, you know.
And it sounded like this.
Oh. Oh.
There you go. That's it.
Nice.
Oh. Go back and listen to the tapes. They're on. I mean, listen to it.
Yeah.
That's the sound he made. Lee Harvey Oswald.
People are gonna take that snippet, but then like link it with other stuff.
And then what? Link it with other stuff.
Yeah, they're gonna be like, here's Frank after when he's on the toilet. Oh.
Oh, there's something. There's something I'd like to do. Here's Frank. Here's Frank when he's on the toilet. What a pleasant sight. What a pleasant thought. Here's the sound he makes when he's on the toilet.
You've got to have more fiber in your diet and you won't have that problem.
I eat as much paper as I can every day, but it doesn't happen. What?
No, I did. You know, the point is that...
What's the point, Tom? Why don't we say... Well, wait a second. Now, Sirhan, you know, everything we've been through with the people in the Mideast and all the stuff that went on with 9/11 and all the junk that goes on now about radical Muslims and stuff like that, how do we know Sirhan wasn't connected to the Muslim Brotherhood or the land of the Islamic moon with the three stars or what have you? Right? I mean, we know who killed Malcolm X. His own people killed him. That was pretty obvious. Yeah. We know that. When we don't. And what about Martin Luther King? Why don't that guy? He still says he didn't do it.
Really? I didn't realize that.
He's still going around, I know what I'm doing in prison. I didn't do it. I didn't kill that black bastard. You know, he's like, this guy is like, yeah, I know. That's what he's saying. You know, he's like completely nuts. You know, he's like, I didn't do it. Well, who did it? You were holding the gun. The gun was smoking and the guy was dead. It's like, what else goes on? I hate to sound like a simpleton. It's just that I think that sometimes what we see is what we get. What we see is what's there. What happens is what happened is what happened. And I think
the thing about the historic significance of millions and millions of people witnessing that murder of Lee Harvey Oswald. I saw it as it happened.
Yeah, I did too.
That was quite an amazing thing.
Well, because we weren't used to seeing murders on television. Real murders, were we?
No.
But
think about it. How many murders have you seen as they happen?
Not a lot, sir. And on TV, you don't. I mean, if they knew that was happening, they probably could have sold a lot of good time. They could have sold a lot of commercials if they knew that was going to
happen. Yeah.
So maybe that's the conspiracy. Maybe
See what I'm saying? They knew.
I guess on both ends of this eternal both ends. You know, I always hate people saying that because there's a front and an end. I mean, people say things, and they do this a lot in horse racing, and they go, he was on the front end. And I go to the people, well, who was at the end front? I mean, what's the front end? The front is the front. The end is the end. Why is there a front end all of a sudden?
Yeah.
People, this almost endless stream of possibilities, and yet I think that and you know what, I got a lot of faith in the people who look into these things, and also I know how difficult it's so difficult to pull off something. I mean, the just, you know, cheating in general is difficult because if you have to have the more people you have involved, the more chances it's going to go wrong. And so when you talk about something like killing the president, oh my God, you better how do you get by all that stuff? How much do you pay people? Where does the money come from to do it? It's too much work.
Mm-hmm.
blah, blah, blah.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, was Kennedy, why kill him? Why kill him? What, he didn't even, it wasn't like, you know, that guy Kennedy's going to blow up the world. I mean, he just saved us from nuclear war. He was, I mean, all this stuff that was going on, why kill him? Nobody's even come up with that.
Well,
they were jealous.
Why?
The George Herbert Bush people say that the motive was his intent to scale back the CIA, and he was upset with the CIA because it was because of the so-called intelligence of the CIA that led him to fuck up in the Bay of Pigs. He didn't want to do that, and he's, you know, he was very angry with the people that had advised him on how it was going to turn out, because it didn't turn out the way it was supposed to turn out.
How about the guy who threw the shoe at George Bush when he was in Iraq? Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Would he have shot him if he had a gun?
That shoe was really one of those talking phones, or one of those phones.
All right, well, let's kill him. You know, it doesn't even sound like something. And, you know, and the other thing is this. Are these people all that smart? Are they smart that they can get away with this stuff? And look at the result. I mean, look at the conclusion they come up with when they want to solve a problem. All these people, if they were George Bush and all the guys, he says, well, I guess there's no other way out of it. We have to kill him. It's like there's only a million ways to address what you're talking about. Get the CIA. Let's just pull a bullet through his head. Why isn't it done like every time a president? You mean, think of the things the presidents have done. You know, they didn't even
care.
They don't, one guy, or maybe four guys, went out to kill Lincoln after an entire war. People were, why wasn't he shot before that? There was a whole country after him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, why didn't they figure out that? I don't know. Let's kill Lincoln. Where were they? They were out, and the people are dying left and right. They have a war. They got uniforms and everything. They're out there. The country's split in half. And the blacks are leaving the South and going north. And nobody said, why don't we just kill Lincoln? No. Not one person said it.
Well, I don't know.
I know. Well, you could. It's like my father. When Franklin Delano Roosevelt died and the body was not shown on state, they kept the casket closed, uh-huh. Everyone said they threw his body out of an airplane. And people believed it.
Was that going around then? I didn't.
So immediately, it's not because he looked so horrible and he was died of this. It's they threw his body out of an airplane and people walked around believing it. You see what I'm saying? It's like,
yes,
what?
I see what you're saying.
The government said, well, let's just get rid of them. Where did they do that? In the Pacific Ocean? In the Atlantic Ocean? In the Mediterranean Ocean? Who pulled them? Who pushed them out? What was he in when they pushed him out? Was he encased in something? Who made the casement? Was it a special encasement? Is his body still down there? They found the Titanic. Why can't they find FDR's body? I rest my case. Ladies and gentlemen. Once again, woo! Ah, thank you.
Oh my God!
Thank you.
That time again.
I know, Tom. Thanks a lot. We'll do something next month.
Yes.
And now to take us out of the show,
it's what?
Tom on his saxophone
to take us out of the show. You want to play something while we? You want to play along with the theme while we do this?
No, I'm going to have to decline on that. Because I still have this respiratory thing.
Oh, that's right. And you got
takes a lot of breath.
You need a lot of air there, right? That's for sure.
Plus, I need to practice if I know I'm going to be on international radio.
Oh, well, there's plenty of trumpet sounds there. Be back with us next week. Tom will be back with us next month. Once again, Tom, you want to hold on and talk, or you got to go? We're just going to end the show and put it to
All there. Right, everybody. Bye. See you next month.
There goes Tom, and I'm real happy. And Tom always does way more research than I do. Let's hear it for Tom, everybody. Let's hear it. Mr. Tom. And I appreciate that because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. The point is digression. It will continue. Thank you, Jeremy.
I am 9/4 satisfied with
tonight's show. He's 9/4 satisfied with it. We got to get you a mic. We don't even have another mic here. Hey, we'll be back.
You got a cam, but you didn't get another
mic. Got a cam and we got a mic.
Isn't that something?
There I am, right there. That was you. We'll be back next week. It's Thanksgiving. Come with me, talk with me, bring your sandwich and giblets or whatever the hell you eat. And we'll be talking, giving thanks to the internet. Tell me a lot of things you probably don't know, because the Hallelujah Trail continues. We're walking down it, and there's no turning back. Good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you are. This is me, Frank Cotolo of Cotolo Chronicles. Jeremy's here. Just say goodbye, Jeremy.
Goodbye, everyone.
Neither I nor Jeremy nor Tom are going to say anything anymore, because we have nothing more to say.
小村到大市，咸湿屋仔到咸湿中心，是 Cotolo Chronicles。